this one. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Go ahead and let our musicians be seated. And we'll appreciate our musicians, don't you? Could you imagine coming up here in every service and trying to create an atmosphere and get everybody in one mind and one accord? It's really appreciated. It's a real blessing. I think they do a really fine job with that. So excited about the service this morning. If I can give it to you the same way he got it to me, you'll be blessed. That's the hardest part of that, Tony.
Yes, that's right.
I've had times I'd just be absent like dynamite inside the back room, and then he'd go out like, what in the world happened to my dynamite? I must have read on the desk. But I tell you what, I'm really excited about what I see God doing. I'm really excited I see what he does in our prayer closet, in our lives, and what I see him doing among his people. And if you will pull, I believe we'll have service.
Amen.
I believe God will come on the scene. Let's get our Bibles. Let's start at Proverbs chapter 18. And we're going to read verse 10 through 12. Proverbs 18, 10 through 12. I believe the heaters are working fine. Praise the Lord. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall is its conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Let's pray.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts, God. And Lord, I completely, totally give myself to you right now, Father. Lord Jesus, I ask you to be a blessing for your people. Feed them, God. Lord, may they be filled with zeal, Lord, and inspiration in their hearts, God, to believe your word, Lord. God, we know that in myself there's nothing I can do, God. I'm just a yielded vessel this morning. And Lord, I'm depending completely and solely upon you coming on the scene and meeting every need, Father. Lord, let there not be one soul leave here untouched, God, being brought closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on possessing the profession. But a lot of times we profess a lot of things, but we don't possess a lot of things. Amen.
Right.
You know, and talking, well, as I always say, is talk's cheap
right. Until
you get something going on. You know, and a man ain't no better than his word. You know, and you take someone that says he's going to do something after a little while, and he keeps following through but not doing it before too long. Next time he says something, you ain't going to believe him too much.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You got some men like Brother Tim Lane or Brother Tony, Brother Matthew. If they say something, it's good as done. Because you know they're going to take care of it, amen? And it's good to have brothers like that around us.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I want to talk about possessing a profession. Because, you know, we've been talking a lot of things here lately about, and for a long now, is how we are the bride of Christ.
Right.
We are the people on the earth. And as I was talking to Brother Tony in the back room, if there's anybody in this earth that should be a blessed people, it should be the bride of Christ.
Right.
If there's anybody that should have happiness, should have peace, should have deliverance, it should be us. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what? I believe we need to profess that, and I believe we need to possess that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that's every day. And just help me out this morning. A name is recognized by characteristics that surrounds that name. Businesses, sports, and even military are recognized by name. They are established and sustained by a common vision, and oftentimes the establishment will be built upon sincerity, discipline, and much consecration. It will be very much like the Ephesus, being aimed at and relaxed. So whether it be a building, a business, a building, or sports, whatever it is, they start out on common grounds of a vision as this is who we are, and this is what we stand for. And because they believe that, they all have a fire inside their heart. And they say, you know what? I believe this and I'm walking with this. And because they do that, every person takes honor in their position of whatever that is.
Right.
So if it's a football team, and I hate to use football team, not to encourage football, but it just helps me illustrate.
Right.
In a football team, everybody's got a position on that team. And then they have to have pride on that team. Did you know, in team, there's no I in team.
That's right.
Right? It's team, T-E-A-M. No I in team. It takes everybody fulfilling their position in that team to make that team successful.
Right.
And you know what? I believe that in the same way as a business, if you have a business, if you have one person on that team that's not fulfilling their job, he'll hurt the whole flock.
That's right.
You know, in our finance department at work, our finance guys, if we have two finance people, if one of them slacking on the job, it'll hinder everybody. And it could actually cause the business to lose sales because they're tired of waiting. Everybody's got a position. If you've got the guy that's sweeping the floors and picking up cigarette butts, he's got a job. And his job is just as important as everybody else. Because if you don't have, if he ain't picking up them cigarette butts before too long, you got knee-high cigarette butts. It's the way people do. It's like chain smokers, you know.
Yeah.
No matter what the job is, we all have a responsibility. And our responsibility is just as important as anybody else's. And you know what? It's not just the ministry. It's not just the musicians. It's the people that sit right there in the pews. It's got some of the greatest responsibilities. Because you know, no matter how much you sing songs, if they ain't pulling, they ain't going to do no good. Amen.
That's right. Right.
Sicknesses or weaknesses come through weak points of the establishment that open doors of defeat. Rather than having a positive influence from meditating upon the common vision and the first established victory in the heart of the people, let me not read this. I'm having trouble with that. Let me just preach from my heart. When you've got people that are walking from their heart and they've got a common vision, they're meditating upon that. And as they meditate upon that common vision, it keeps a zeal in the hearts of the people. And you know, the greatest thing you can have in a business, especially in a church, is family.
Yes.
Because when you have a deeper respect of rather than like in a business, and you know what, I better show up on time because I'll get fired if I don't. But they say, you know what, I'm not going to be late for work because I don't want to let my team down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there because I know if I'm not in service, my people are going to struggle. So I've got a responsibility to be in the church. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be prayed up. I'm going to be fed up. I'm going to prepare my mind before service. I'm going to be ready because I'm not going to let my team down. If we lose this game that we're going into, it ain't going to be because I come short. It's going to be because somebody else, or they simply beat us in a team. But you know what? It will not be because I come short. You know, and that's the way we each individually have got to be. In our heart, in our walk with God, this rapture will not be held up because of me. You know, it may be because God ain't got time, but it ain't because Brother Daniel's slacking. How about you? Amen. You know what? If we're going to not have the presence of God at work, it's not because Brother Daniel ain't carrying it, because something else took place. I'm going to fulfill my duties. God put us a refuge in front of us. He is a refuge for us. But you know what? We have to keep our eyes on that. Because if you have weaknesses coming in, you've got someone bringing negativity, cut that out. Someone starts coming to me, starts talking negative to me. I say, not here. Shut that valve. My wife gets a kick at me. I tell me, shut that valve. I don't want to hear that. Turn that off.
Yeah.
You know what? No, not in this house. No negativity here. You know, when they got this nonsense, believe the sign and all that stuff, they won't. But look at this. Shut that off.
That's right.
Don't even bring that here. I'll shut the valve for you. Let me open the door. Amen. Don't even reason with it, brothers and sisters. Because you know what? You got to reason with that stuff. I used to have a hog farm. You get around it very much, you know what you start smelling like? A hog farm.
That's right.
And I want to tell you something. You start hanging around that stuff and start reasoning with that too much, your thinking will smell like a hog farm.
That's right.
You'll start to think exactly the way they're doing it. And you know, that's the way Eve, I love this. You know, with Eve, as long as she stayed with her husband and she stayed true to him and listened to the words he said, that serpent couldn't have done a thing to her. But what he had to do is get her away from her husband. And I love that where Paul said, I've established you as a chaste virgin before Christ, but I'm afraid as Satan beguiled Eve, he's going to try to do the church also. If you look in the Magnified Bible, it actually says, take you from the sincere devotion that's in Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you something. What Satan tried the hardest to get you away from? Your sincere devotion to Christ.
That's right.
Because you take a wife that's sincerely devoted to her husband, and she loves her husband, and she knows he's working for her. He's doing all these things for her. She's ready. She's cooking. She's cooking pies and doing all these things. She's sincerely devoted to her husband. Let that little guy come in here, that little slicker, and try to do something. She said, fella, you better get out of here. My husband's fixing me home, and I'm working his pie, and I ain't going to mess up on it. Amen. You know what? That's what we got to be. We're so sincerely devoted to this word. We're so sincerely. We got this passion for the presence of God. We love it so much. And then when the devil tries to bring stuff, say, devil, I ain't got time for that. Shut that valve. I ain't got time to listen to that.
Right.
You know what? Let me open the door for you. Because I ain't got time for that. Because you know what? When we allow him to get into our reasoning, he's got us. Because once you allow just a little bit of sin in your life, it's harder and harder to stop.
Amen.
Am I telling you the truth or not?
Right.
You give him just a little bit, it's harder to say no. Because this is a little bit, or too long, like, how in the world did I get in this mess? But that's the way a slicker will do. I'm going to call him a slicker.
Whenever he tries to come to a woman, what he'll try to do is point out all the weak points in the husband and all the strong points in himself. They don't have this. They don't have that. Look at the message. You don't have this. You don't have all these things. You don't have the miracles. You don't have all these things. I don't know where you've been looking.
That's right.
I see them every day. Amen. 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 You know, they don't want to point toward those things. We're going to show you a greater life. Let me show you something. The influence is a great thing, friend. Listen to me, young people. Influence is a great thing. Because I'm going to show you something. I'll tell you how to check your influence of your friends. If they ever start taking you away from mommy and daddy, when mommy and daddy is showing you something, you better get away from that. You better shut that bell. When you have someone that's taking you away from what the prophets taught us, even just a little bit, shut that valve. Because I'm going to tell you something. You ever get that valve broke? It's hard to get that valve shut down, ain't it, Brother Matt? You get a valve that's shut and you can't shut that valve and you're trying to get it shut, that's the same way the devil is. He'll try to get you to reason with him and reason with him against something, and influence is something he's going to work hardest at us to take us from that sincere devotion against Christ. And our friends that we hang around ourselves, you start acting around them very much, you'll start acting just like them. You start dwelling around them very long, you'll start talking like them. And then next thing you know, you'll be in trouble with dad and mom. That's the truth.
That's right.
Respect. That's why we need to pray for mommy and daddy. And I'm going to use football again because for some reason it keeps going to that. You know, if daddy's running to football, and he's going to make the touchdown, he needs someone to block for him. And you know what would be the greatest thing in the world, saying to God, seeing daddy running to take the touchdown, and he sees a huge block. And they say, that's got to be Brother Tim. That's got to be Brother Tony, because that was an awesome block. I mean, he was going to make the touchdown, and he was going to get crushed. And somebody blocked for him. Who was that? Pops that helmet off, and it's Hannah. I see that. We see that pretty little girl. You say, Hannah can't block for her. Yes, she can.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you something. You can block for mommy and daddy. You can pray for mommy and daddy. Because mommy and daddy, we've got one intention, don't we, brothers and sisters? To win the game.
Amen.
Amen. And we as a church, as a congregation, as the ministry, as the deacons, as the musicians, we have one goal, one common goal, to win. Amen?
Amen.
And the way we're going to do that is we have to block for one another.
Yeah.
We have to pray for one another. We have to seek for one another. You know, and that's what we need more, friends, is working with that inner power where God is dealing with us. We've got the dynamics in action. You know, we've got everything we need to walk a victorious life. We've got the Word. We've got the message. We've got the Holy Ghost. What hindereth us? I want more. Amen?
Amen.
Whenever we go, we can possess what we profess. I ask you, young people, who wants the Holy Ghost? Let's try that again. I ask us, young people, who wants the Holy Ghost? Oh, that's a little better. One more time. How many of us want the Holy Ghost? Oh, that's better. Amen. I like to see that. You say, Brother Daniel, that don't really matter if I raise my hand, does it? I'm going to tell you something. During a worship service, does it make a difference if you raise your hands? Yes, it does. Because I'll tell you why it does. You're breaking chains.
Yep.
Because you know what? Brother Branham talked about devils. He said, you know, devils look a lot different than what people think they are. He said, what a devil will do, it's a tormentor. He said, what them demons will do, it will cause you to disbelieve the Word. He said, and whenever that devil is exposed, he said, a peculiar look will come across that person's face because that devil's been exposed. And whenever he has to let go, and you automatically believe the Word. Did y'all know
right.
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
When the Word, there's more devils cast out during preaching of the Word than laying of hands. Because when that Word is preached to you, you're able to, that devil has to let go. How important is it that we will live a holy life? How important is that we walk in the Spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Because when we walk in the Spirit, friends, God can talk to us. God can lead us. Because you believe God wants to use you? He does. I don't mean to get on all this rabbit trail, but I tell you what, it sort of tastes good. I'm going to give you just one quote from Brother Brown. He said, our foundation stands sure, foundation of God. God laid in Zion the cornerstone. There we are, can't slip, can't slide, can't move. Then we come into the door through Christ, put on here. Oh, we may have our ups and downs along. That's true enough. Sickness and troubles. But remember, there's a great company of angels all along the road to bear thee up any time. Take you on up there, taking you up when you fall. Oh yes, he's there. He promised it.
and he had to make it that way. Now listen, he said, so the only way he could make was the cornerstone, the precious stone, that tribe elect stone. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. That's right. Safe. Nothing can bother you anymore. You're in the rock. It's not whether you hold on now, it's whether the rock holds. And the rock's done held. So then you are safe. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can come unto you unless God forbids it. Satan can't do a thing to us unless God allows it. So why in the world do we worry so much? You know what? I've caught myself being the worst worry you've ever seen in your life. I just lay in bed and toss and turn, and start to get ulcers in my stomach and all these different things. And finally, God just said, why are you worrying?
It's not you that does it anyway. It's me.
But you know what? We worry. The devil will get you to a point where you worry about this. You worry about your kids. You worry about the finances. You worry about this. What if this happens? What if that happens? And he gets you so worried, you're not focusing on the team. You're not focusing on the tower. Because I'll tell you something. Home runs don't win baseball games. Runs do. That's true. Home runs, you may look at the little car that says home runs win the baseball games. You know how many times they struck out to get that home run? A lot. That's true. But you know what? The more you try, the more you're going to hit. And the more you get on base, the more runs you're going to get. Say, Brother Daniel, what are you talking about? Sometimes we try so hard because we want the big miracle to take place. I want to see someone raised from the dead, home run, so to speak. But you know what? It's runs that win games. And runs are getting up and having the right attitude. A run is getting up and showing respect one for another. A run is whenever you prepare yourself for church. A run is when you do all these things. Because see, when you do all these little things right in your own walk, you're getting on base, and you've got three on base, and you've got somebody else coming, he's going to give the home run. Well, he's going to knock it out of the ballpark. And because you did everything right, you got more points for the team.
Right.
I'm making this for the young people. See, runs are what win games. Not necessarily just home runs. Now, home runs are nice. They taste good. You know, it feels good. How many has hit a home run before? Four of us? Well, we need to play some baseball. I got a good team here. But you know what? That's true. Runs are what win games. And I'll say something just illustrating my walk with car sales. There's a huge car sale you can get. And you get that huge car sale, well, it's going to be a nice payday. But you know what? You're going to strike out 100 times. You're going to be broke all the time if you try to go for home runs. But what you try to do is get everything right. Get all of them, everyone on base. And then once you hit the home run, then you got a home run. So it's the little things that we do. The little things that we do in our life, getting things on base. Our attitude is a big thing, friends. Our prayer life is a big thing. So I'm going to tell you something. That's one of the biggest reasons why we live under our privileges is our prayer life. You know, I was talking to the kids the other day, and we were talking about that, about the struggles that we go through. And that's one of the things that we all come to an agreement on. Is, you know, the biggest thing we struggle with is prayer.
Yeah.
How many times will you have it in your heart, in your mind, that you're going to pray? You know, you say, you know what, I'm going to go during my lunch hour. I'm going to spend this time with the Lord. I'm going to pray. You've even got the prayer list. I'm going to take this time. I'm going to put it before God. I'm going to do these things. And next thing you know, it's that night. And you're like, I never did do that. How many times will you get on your knees and start to pray? As a brother mentioned even earlier, it's exactly right. You get on your knees and you start praying. And next thing you know, you're thinking about everything else in the world. And you ain't said a word of prayer. Amen. Confession is good for the soul. Prayer life, brothers and sisters. David wanted to build a tabernacle for God, but he was a man of war. But see, there's one from his loins that was going to come that could build the tabernacle. And us, in ourselves, we want to serve God. In ourselves, we want to do these things. We want to see the dynamics in our way. But see, there's got to be one that comes from our loins that's going to be able to do that. And that's working from the inner man, feeding that inner man. Because the more you feed that inner man, he's going to overcome. He's the one that's going to overcome for you. Amen. Brother Branham talked about the cattle. and they wanted to get some milk. It was in the North Pole, and they were going to buy these coats to put over these cows because it was so cold up there, they're going to freeze to death. So they actually got these coats they were going to put over these cows. But whenever they got there, they found out they didn't even need the coats. The fur had already grown out where they didn't even need them. And a lot of times, friends, we'll think, you know what? I don't have what it takes to be what I need to be. I remember going to the gym, and I seen this one guy in particular. If I've ever seen a guy that needed a gym, he needed one. He was just a little bitty feller. I'm telling you what, red hair, freckles, and he had a small shirt, and that thing just swallowed the poor guy. And he walked in there, but he said he wanted to get himself in shape. And he went in there, and I looked at this guy, and we were talking, and he says, you know what, Daniel? He said, ever since I was little, I've always wanted to be bigger than what I am. I said, well, you know, do the same thing everybody else does. It'll come. You know, that boy looking at him, you'd think there's no hope in that guy. There's no hope. I mean, he's a little bitty fella. And he starts doing his working out. But you know what? First thing he started out, he had a vision. And that common vision, he knew what he wanted to be. He said, I want to be bigger. I want to be stronger. I want to have broad shoulders. I don't want to be this. How many say that, amen?
Right.
I don't want to be this anymore. I want to be that. He had this vision. He had everything that he needed. He had the gym. He had the bench press. He had the dumbbells. He had everything at his access to be able to do that. And it was all up to him. And this guy, little bitty guy, he walked up there and he wanted to start big. We all do. He walked up there and grabbed them big dumbbells and nope. Starts from small to big. Nope. Nope. All the way down. Ain't far too long. He's down there where the ladies are. And they got the little blue and the red ones. Now, how many of us brothers would have just walked out? I probably would have. I was like, I'm going to go home and prime up. I'll come back. No, sir. Not this guy. He said, if this is where I got to start, it's where I got to start. He grabbed them things. He just started working them things. And I'm down here and I'm watching it. Lord, I'm like, oh, my goodness. I wish they had a back room or something. I felt sorry for him, you know. But he didn't care. He was working out because he was determined. I'm going to be big. I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to stay where I'm at. Well, they take a picture of us when you first start going to the gym. And he was going. And he gets a different job. He starts working night shifts, but I don't see him anymore. And it's probably been maybe a year and a half. It was about, I work at Atwoods at the time, younger, and I'm working. And I see this guy come through there, and he's got triceps. I'm like, goodness, look at that. And I'm a teenager, you know. I see this guy walking, and he's got these triceps, and he's walking like that. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, that guy's in shape. He sure is. And he walked over and says, a lot of people knew me from the gym. I worked out all the time too. He said, hey, Black. And he hollered at me and looked over at me. And I didn't even recognize him. He was bigger than I was. I looked at him and said, goodness, son. I said, steroids, stay away from that stuff. He said, no. He said, I don't do no steroids, Daniel. I do exactly what you told me. He said, I work out every day. I focus. He said, and a lot of times I wanted to quit. He said, I never quit. That guy that was two times smaller than me was bigger than I was now. But it took determination.
Right.
How many times would he want to quit? How many times do you go and you say you're working so hard, you're going through the process, you're going through all the works, you're doing everything, but you don't feel like you're getting anywhere? Sound like familiar? Sometimes, you know, in your heart, you say, God, I want to serve you better. Truly, I want to please you. Truly, I want the works in my life. I want the fruits of the Spirit. I want to bear these things. Truly, I do, God. But it seems like I'll try. I'm going through the works, but it's like I'm not getting anywhere. It seems like I go, and sometimes when I pray, it's like I'm praying to a wall. Ever been there? Amen. Ever been there? Now, if ministry's ever been there, what do you think the chances are you're going to be doing there? So next time the devil tells you, you know what, there must be nothing to you, just remember that. We go through the same thing. But you know what, it's not my feelings. It's meditating on the vision. And you say, you know what, I'm going to get there. I'm going to be there. And that's why it's so important for us to meditate upon that word. And when I was talking about influence a while ago, you get around the wrong people, friends, you got to either change the conversation or get away from it.
Because I'm telling you what, it will. You won't think they will. You think you can handle it. You get around a hog farm very long at all, you're going to smell like a hog farm. And you get around that negative influence very long, it's going to tear you down. And what will Satan do? He'll tear you up. He'll tear your confidence in your leadership. He'll tear the wife. Listen to me, wives. He will tear your confidence in your headship. He'll begin to make you think of the weakness that he does. You know what? Hey, why is he doing that? He knows better than that. Why don't he just ask me? Well, he'll say amen to that. That's where the devil will work. And what he will do, he will begin to cause you to see what he does wrong. And you'll miss all the 100 things he does right.
Yeah.
And same thing with a mommy and daddy. He'll cause that teenager or a young person to look, and you'll see everything they're doing wrong. You think they're doing wrong anyway. And they're wrong. There will be times they do wrong. But you'll miss all the things they do right. So how many times mommy and daddy's up in the middle of the night praying, seeking God? And the kids have never done nothing about it. I remember my little kids were little babies. I would get up and carry them. I would literally pick them up and carry them. I'm sure you young parents know what I'm talking about. That little bundle of joy. And I'll tell you something else as young people is I was able to get in the spirit a whole lot better with a little newborn. That's the truth. If I ever have trouble praying and getting through, get your newborn. Put him in your bosom and you start praying and see if the presence of God don't come down just like that. It's true. If I ever come through that, I would always in the middle of the night I'd be praying. If I ever come to a point, I would always go get one of the little ones and carry him in my bosom. And I would walk the floors. And I'd pray. I said, God help them. Keep them in the Word. Keep them on His things. They never knew a thing about it. Now, naturally, they got so big, I can't do that now. But
Dylan, or Elijah, he wears bigger shoes than I do now. 11 years old. But you know what, little friends? I want you to remember this, young people. Sometimes, there's many times, mom and daddy's doing things behind doors you don't even see nothing about it. And same thing with the congregation. Many times your teammates are doing something for you and you don't know nothing about it. And remember that. Anytime you feel an influence coming toward you, trying to tear down your leadership, you remember, snot the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. That's what the devil will try to do every time. He'll try to scatter the headship. Amen. We can't let sickness dwell in the camp, and we can't let negativity dwell in the camp. If you start getting sick, you better start taking care of it pretty quick. Same thing with a vehicle. You let a vehicle start having problems. What's going to happen if you don't start fixing the small problems? You're going to start having big problems. And that's why it's so important. Once you start seeing these small sicknesses take place, you know, that's why David was a man after God's own heart, is he was quick to repent. But see, what the devil will deal with you on is you make a mistake. And will you make mistakes? Amen. You're going to make mistakes. But the thing about it is, repent quickly. But the devil will tell you you can't do that right now because you have to wait a certain time before you can pray. Am I telling the truth? The devil will make you think you can't pray. You have to wait a little while. That's what he'll do. I'm talking about experience. I'm telling you what I've been walking with the Lord. You can't tell me it don't happen. That's exactly how it happens. You'll do something wrong. You'll do something. And in your heart, you'll want to pray. You want to go. And the devil will tell you, you have to wait a little while. You're on timeout. God don't do timeout. He doesn't spank it. Amen. I didn't hear young people say amen to that. Dr. So-and-so will say that. He'll give you all kinds of remedies of how to fix children. I'll tell you a remedy, and it's worked really well. It worked well for me, and it's worked well for the kids. But you know, I see kids, the way they'll disrespect their parents, especially in public, roll their eyes at them, and all these different things, disrespect. You know why they do that? They got away with it when they were little. But you know what? You engrave that when they're little. You do that one time, you will pay dearly. And you won't want to do it again. Because at first, when you're little, you instill that in them. And then when they're older, you don't have to do that. Because it's instilled. It's respect. And you know what? That respect is a huge thing. Because you know what? A woman needs to be loved. Amen, sisters? You got to have the reminder. I just told you this morning. I got to tell you again, it's 10:30. I talk to my wife all the time. She's like, do you love me? I
just told you 2 hours ago.
We have a great relationship. But wives have to be reminded all the time they're loved.
All the time. Have to be reminded that they're loved. But a husband, don't get me wrong, we like to be loved. Don't get me wrong. We do. We like to be loved. But the biggest thing is respect. Respect. Amen.
And I want you children to always remember this. When you disrespect your parents, especially in public, when you roll your eyes or you talk to them in a tone that you have no right talking to them in, it's disrespect. And they deserve better than that. Especially when you look at all the things they do for you and you don't know nothing about it. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, Brother Daniel still loves you, but I'm telling you the truth. The churches have offered, you know, the children of Israel, they wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted to be just like them. They wanted to have a king. They wanted to do all these things. They were willing to sacrifice their own things to give to this king for his protection. They were willing to pay taxes. They were willing to do all of these things when they had a prophet of God, a provided way for God to work with him. They were willing to sacrifice those things. And you know what? It's easy to look at the denominations and see the denominations have sold out to them. Got to be careful because that's trying to creep right into the message too. To where he's trying to get us to where we will sell out to a king. We'll sell out to an easy life of easy living. I'm going to tell you, that's the biggest curse we have is easy living. I love my recliner. And sometimes I'm afraid it's a curse. Because you know what? When I get home, my feet, I've been on my feet for 12, 14 hours. Been working, I've been negotiating all day, I'm tired, I'm ready just to sit down, I put those feet up, I'm like, And I'll tell myself, I'm going to pray here in just a minute. I'm going to get on my knees, I'm going to start seeking the Lord, and I have a Bible sitting right beside me, and I'll turn to the Scriptures. And I'll lay there in that recliner and have my feet in the air, and I feel so comfortable. Don't look at me like that, you've been there. You lay there, and your feet's in the air, and you're feeling, you know what, you're just feeling so good, and you're like, I'm going to get up and pray. And next thing you know, 30 minutes gone by. 45 minutes gone by. An hour's gone by. And he still ain't got there and prayed. Easy living's nice. I'm not going to lie. It's a curse too. Amen?
Amen.
You know, my car, one of the most blessings, sometimes it's frustrating. If you look at that poor thing, it ain't got a radio. And people make fun of my car all the time because it's ugly, they say. You know, the guys at work, they told me, they said, Daniel, if I was in the desert, and I was walking, and it's 130 degrees, and I run out of gas, and you drove by me with that car, I would not get in that car. That's how ugly that car is. He said, you work at a Dodge dealership, and you're driving that. I was like, hey, you get good gas mileage. But you know, that little car ain't nothing to look at. It's ugly, but it gets great fuel mileage. And it ain't got a stereo in there. And you know, sometimes when you're going down the road and you're tired, it's been a long day, you know, it's really easy to want to just listen to something just to kind of ease your mind, so to speak. And I've got a phone, I can pull it up just like that. But a lot of times you're so tired you just forget. You just think, like, I wish I had a stereo to listen to. And then later on you remember, I could have done it with my phone. But you know, I would reach down to turn that radio on, and it's been out for 4 years now. And I still forget. It's not there. I'll reach down and listen to it, and I was like, it's not there. So you know what my next resort is? Pray. And because that stereo is not in my car, that causes me to pray. And I'll be going down the road, and next thing you know, I'm so in depth with prayer with God. I'm doing 45 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. People going around me, but it's my time with God. And when I'm doing that time, friends, that's the most wonderful time in the world. There's that car. If it could tell you secrets, you'd never want to go out of the car. Because of the presence of God. And what am I saying? Sometimes we have obstacles in our life that seem like they're curses, but sometimes they're really blessings. Sometimes we have little things in our life. You say, you know what? If God really loved me, he'd sure take care of this. Well, because he loves you, he's not going to take care of that.
Right.
He's going to leave that obstacle right there because that's the only thing he can do to get you to do what you're supposed to do. Amen. I know this ain't real in depth, but I'm telling you what, if you chew on this week, you'll see I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
They were willing to sell out to the king for an easy life. And with the religions of the world, I'm almost finished, but the religions of the world, what they've done is they gave you an easy way to cope with sin rather than deliverance.
And a lot of times you'll have something that you're truly struggling with in your heart and sinful life. And if you listen to the radio of Christian World or what do? They will tell you books from Dr. So-and-so of how you can deal with this sin. Of drinking, pornography, depression, all these different things. They've got the Dr. So-and-so is so sophisticated. He knows how to deal with this. But I'm going to tell you from Dr. Jesus, there's a remedy. It's right there. Right there at the altar. And I want you to remember this. Whenever you're dealing with these things, don't think you have to cope with sin. There's still deliverance. You're looking at a man that was bound by alcohol. And when I mean bound, I'm telling you what, if I didn't drink, I would shake. My hands would literally shake. I would wake up 3 a.m. because I needed a drink. And it was so bad. And I had a problem. I'm going to tell you what, but whenever I come to God, brothers and sisters, God delivered me. And if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. And you say, Brother Daniel, I don't drink, but what do you have? If He can deliver you from drinking, He can deliver you from smoking. If He can deliver you from smoking, He can deliver you from all the other things. No, a lot of times we can have something, and I'm going to use this as an example. They've got alcohol, for an example. They'll put a pretty label on that thing. And I mean, it'll be just as pretty as can be. Green leaves all over it and whatever they have on them. But it looks pretty. It's still alcohol. Right. Amen? They can take sin and they can make sin look pretty. They can make sin look like it's healthy. It's happy. And in their pictures, and when you go to the store, everyone's laughing. They're having a good time. It looks like they're having fun. But they don't show you later on when they're hanging over the toilet. That's right. They don't show you later on whenever they hit an oncoming car and killed a wife and 3 children. You know, they see the guy and they've got him and he's leaning against the deal in the picture and he's got a cigarette in his hand. I know he looks so cool to the world. He looks cool to them. In the picture, it looks fun. In the picture, it looks like they're having a good time. They don't tell you the part. You can't stand next to him because he stinks like an ashtray. Or and he's 30 years old and he can't run very far because his lungs are so clogged up. See, Satan will make it look so pretty. He'll make it look so fine and he'll cause you to reason with it. He's like, it's not that bad. You just have to know how to control it. Is that true? Mm-hmm. You say, Brother Daniel, I ain't dealing with drinking or smoking, but what are you dealing with? Because you know what? We all know in our heart what we truly deal with. We know the guy that's in our closet that we have to deal with. And we have to put him under our foot every day. And sometimes you might not see him. He might go see a cousin or an uncle for a few days and he'll come right back.
That's right.
And he'll try to bring them right back to you. I'm going to tell you something. We used to box quite a bit. Not in the house. We'd get all the neighbor kids up there. And you know what I've seen? One of the biggest ways to win a fight in a boxing match is you would make them think they're winning. Because the more you make them think they're winning, they're going to let their guard down that much more. And you've got to be able to take a hit. And you just let them hit you a few times. And when you're doing that, you let them think they're winning. And as they do that, they'll open that guard up. And all you need is one time. And just, you hit that, and they're just like a sack of taters. That's the way the devil will do it too. He'll make you think you're winning. He'll make you think everything's okay. And you got your boxing up, and you wouldn't dare let those things. You would never dare let something open up where he can get to you. But because you think you're winning, you say, you know what, I'm okay. There's no problems in my life. I'm overcoming. I'm okay. I'm fine. You start to let that guard down more and more and more, and that's all he needs is one hit. Because once he gets that one hit, he's going to clean your clock. And you know what, in a boxing match, I'm going to tell you something. I remember one fella, his name is Robert Athey. I could always hold my own pretty good, and this guy was good. And he did that same thing to me. And I'll tell you something. I thought I had this thing won. We were going and he waited for me to get open. And once he got me open, he got me one good time. And I couldn't seem to get him off of me. No matter how hard I tried, I've been in lots of matches way bigger than him. And I just couldn't seem to get him off of me. And I'm going to tell you something. That was more than one of the hardest fights I've ever fought. And what it was, he got one shot. That's the way the devil will do. He gets that one hit in. It's hard to get him off of you. It's so hard to get him off of you. because he'll keep swinging, he'll keep swinging, he'll keep swinging. And the next thing you know, he's like, I wish my training coach would throw in the towel or something, because I'm getting killed here. That's what the devil will do. That's why it's so important we keep our guard up. Don't let do the small things right. Every time, do the small things right. Because when you do the small things right, you're going to have all your guards put up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. One last thing to come here. What Satan wants to get us from is away from the blood. Away from the seeking God, crying and seeking. He wants us to plateau. Where, you know, I have arrived. I've come to the point, I've been serving the Lord now for 15 years now. I have arrived. I don't have to seek God anymore.
Right.
But you have to keep seeking Him. You've got to keep seeking Him, friends. You've got to have something. Satan wants to take the fight out of us. Because once he takes the fight out of you, he's won the fight. It's over. And that's why we got to start seeking Him more, friends. And I'm really feeling really pressured for the young people. Mm-hmm. He wants you to remember that. You think about these things. Don't let the devil take the fight out of you. Because that fight is what's going to keep you and sustain you. Is that fight on the inside. And we say, Brother Daniel, what are you talking about? I'm talking about something on the inside that makes you want to do it. Amen? Whether it's running a race, whether it's doing whatever. I don't know what's hot in here. It makes it hot. It makes you tired. I understand that. But you know what? It's that thing on the inside that makes you want to do something. But Brother Matthew, he's got something inside him. I bet Sister Brittany does not have to kick him out of the bed and say, go get a deer. Brother, does she have to do that? Oh, no. He's got that alarm clock set on loud. He's ready to roll. She don't have to beg him. Say, Brother Matthew, please, please, Brother Matthew, go hunting. Go get you a nice buck. He's like, oh, Brittany, I don't want to get a deer today. I really don't. No, she probably has to say, Matthew, please, you've been hunting every day. Stay home this time. Because he's got something on the inside of him that wants to do it. It's a fight. He's got something inside of him that says, I'm just itching. I can just see it. Them big old horns coming right in front of my stand. I can see it. And he can't sleep. Something inside of him, he says, I've got to get up. I've got to get up before the alarm clock because I'm going to get that deer. That's the same way we got to be with the presence of God. We got to have that same urgency on the inside. I got to get up and pray. I've got to get up because I can just see it. I can just see that presence of God coming down. I can just see it. I remember reading a story back in college. It was about this young man who wanted to be successful. And he went to this older man and he said, I want to be successful. And this older man was very successful. He said, I'll tell you what, you really want to be successful? Yes. I want to be successful. I'm willing to do whatever I got to do. He said, you're willing to do anything? He said, yes, I'm willing to do anything. He said, okay, you meet me here at the beach tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. Next morning, that young kid, he wakes up, he's anxious, he's ready to go. He says, I'm going to be successful. He gets up to the beach and he meets the old man and he's thinking, all right, what's he going to do? Teach me jump ropes? Is it going to be pep talk? What's he going to do? All these things. What's this coach going to do for me to make me successful? You know what he does? He takes him. Come here, Malachi. Let you be a part of the service today. How's that? He says, you want to be successful? He said, yeah. He says, come on. He takes him out in the water. He takes him out in the water. He says, do you still want to be successful? Yeah. You can go sit down. First, as he's going, he's like, I don't know if I want to or not. Maybe, but I think I do. You're going out there and you're going out in the water. Do you still want to be successful? Mm-hmm. I want to be successful. They get on out there and the water is about this deep. He says, are you still want to be successful? Yes. He said, okay. Grabs his head and sticks his head in the water. And he's kicking, he's squirming, and he's fighting, and he's thinking, I'm going to be successful, not drown. And he can't get his head out of the water, and he's swinging, he's throwing his hands in the air. And this guy is just, you know, doing everything he can. He's a younger man, having to hold his head under the water. And I'm telling you what, it seems like minutes goes by. And he's under the water and bubbles going everywhere. And he's just fighting. He's trying to get loose.
And it's just like, he's like, oh my God, I'm about to die. What's this guy doing to me? I come to be successful and I'll die. His head's under the water. He keeps holding him, keeps holding him. And he knows the approximate time. He pulls his head right out. And he's spitting water out and all these different things. And his face is all blue. He looked at him. He says, what were you thinking about when we come out here? He said, being successful. That's all I want, to be successful. He said, but what were you thinking about just now? He said, breathing. He said, that's the same way you've got to be about success. You've got to be that serious, desperate. You've got to be so desperate. You're like, the only thing I want is to breathe. I don't care about the house. I don't care about the mortgage. I don't care about the truck. I don't care about going on vacations. I don't care about the shoes. I don't care about the dresses. I just want to breathe. You put your head up in the water. It's all you think about. That's the same way we got to be about God, brothers and sisters. That sincere, that desperate. Well, that's the only thing we can think about. You know, when we think about, I remember one time I was about 12 years old. I was at the house. Someone was trying to break into the house while I was in there. And I was 12 years old, 10-foot bulletproof in front of everybody else. I was by myself there, like, uh-oh. You know, I'm not, no gun in the house, you know. And this was somebody I'd never seen before. I was scared. There was an urgency that come inside of me that I couldn't have had before. I had this urgency inside me, and I was checking all the windows. I was checking the doors. I was checking everything. I wanted to make sure there was no way for that guy to get in. I was making sure all the windows were locked. I was checking everything. You didn't have to ask me if I checked the window. I knew I checked that window. Because this guy was going to get in the house. It's true. I was scared. There was an urgency on the inside. And because I had that urgency, I acted on it. I was making sure this guy couldn't get inside. And that's the same way we got to be about God, brothers and sisters. We got to be urgency to make sure that devil can't get in. We got to be urgency that he's not going to get on my experience. He's not going to be an influence on my life. He's not going to be an influence on this church. I'm urgent about it because I know if this guy gets in, who knows what he can do. And I'm telling you what, if the devil could ever get in, like I say, it's hard. When you're boxing and that guy ever gets you back in the corner, it's hard to get out. And a lot of times, that's when you're going to lose the fight. It's when he gets you in the corner. And that's what the devil will do if he can get us in his corner. But we have to look to the refuge, the common ground, and be not afraid to call out for help. That's our biggest thing. Call out for help. Because you know what? Yeah, Brother Branham talked about it this way. He said, us Branhams, we can go in the backyard, we can duke it out. But when you go in the front yard, you touch one of the Branhams, you got all the Branhams on your hands. That's the way it is with us. No, we're family. Amen? You know, we might have our backdoor scuffles. Well, Brother Daniel's talking about things he shouldn't have said. You know, he preaches about these different things. How dare you, Brother Daniel? I'm going to tell you something. The only reason I say those things is because I love you, friends. I may have said some things today that, you know, you say, you know what, you shouldn't have said those things. I say it because I love you. And listen to me, young people. Respect your elders. Respect them. Pray for them. Block for them. Because we need them to block. Amen. Let's all stand. Who's going to block for your ministry?
Amen.
Amen. I don't believe you have to worry about the heater part.
We can have the dynamics. You know, and when you soak in the presence of God, friends, people will start to notice. People will start to see it. Brother Tony gave a prayer request this morning. This is not to put anything towards me, but I'm going to show you something. That family that was in that four-wheeler accident, they weren't supposed to make it at all. And they got desperate. And the man that worked with us, he said, I know a guy we can call right now. He said, and I'm telling you right now, he said, it's going to change things. And he kept calling, texting my phone. I was with somebody, with a customer. And I couldn't take his text message. He kept calling, he kept calling. And I finally told my customer, said, hey, this must be an emergency. I said, because they keep calling me. I said, let me step over here. And step to the side. And Andrew's on the phone. God I work with. He said, Daniel, he said, I don't mean to bother you. I know you're with the customer. He said, but there's been an accident and she's fixing to die. He said, please, Daniel. He said, if you don't mind. He said, I know God's seen God answer prayer. He said, please, pray right now. Pray that God will help her. I said, brother, I sure will. And my customer's right here. I said, I'm sorry. I said, but guys, I'm going to have to pray. We've got something that's happened. And they said, no, don't worry. We'll pray too. Right there where we're at, we just join hands and pray and start praying that God and friends of less than 15 minutes, you get a phone call back. And they said, Daniel said, I don't know what happened. He said, it's completely turned around. He said, I'm not pointing that toward me, friends. I'm telling you, that's what we can have. That's what we can have when someone needs help. They need to call us. But I'm going to tell you something. If we got our head in the manure pile, how are they going to do that? We've got to have our eyes looking up to that refuge, thinking on the right things, meditating on the right things. Because what would happen if I had my head stuck in the manure pile during that time when they needed help? I'd say, I'm sorry, I must have repented of my sins first, brother. I'm walking in sin. You know, we all going to have to fight this guy. But see, Scripture says, walk in the Spirit, that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right. Friends, we can have that thing. And you know, if God can do that for someone out there, how much more can He do for someone in here? I'll ask you, who's got needs this morning? I've got needs, friends. And there ain't a reason why we should go home without them. Not a reason. No, there's not one reason. Brother Tim, play something.
I need.
Lord, you'll give us the grace to be the overcomer that we need to be, God. God, I ask you to touch these precious brothers and sisters, God. Lord, you know in their hearts, Lord, what you have dealt with them about this morning, Lord. God, we all fight battles, God. We all fight giants, Lord, that we have to contend with every day, God. Lord, I ask you, Father, walk the aisles and, Lord, just deal with their hearts this morning, Lord. Lord Jesus, and help them, Father, to strengthen that inner man, God. Help us to walk in the Spirit, God, that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, Father. Help us to start possessing what we've been professing for so many years, God. God, and may our life have the evident fruit of the body in your presence, Father. Lord Jesus, help us to bear it from the inside out, oh God. I ask you, Father, to give us leadership in our lives, Lord. Give us a determination in our heart, Lord. God. God, to grow, Lord. And Lord Jesus, to work a little harder, God, and fulfilling our position, Father, in the body, God, because we all have a position, Lord. I ask you to bless our pastor, Father, and give him the leadership that he needs, God. And Lord God, his family, Lord, help us, Father, to, as a church, God, to walk with the common vision, Lord. Lord Jesus, that he can make it clear to us, Father. Lord, that we can run, Father, the race that you've set before us, Father. We love you this morning. We thank you for your blessings on our life, God. Meet every need among us, Lord. God, help us, Father, to become what you have said we are, Father. Lord, we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking to your word, God. Not how we feel, not how we look today. We're looking at what the word said we are, Father. Help us, God, to concentrate and meditate upon that, Father. In Jesus' name. God. See that song, My God is a Strong Tower? You know that song? Blessed is the name of the Lord.
Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is Blessed is the name of the Lord.
truth this morning, because I did. Amen. And we do live in a desperate time, desperate hour. I believe that the bride of Christ should be in a constant state of desperation. And of course, Brother Ram, let us know you can't just throw yourself into that yourself. Circumstances usually what come along that make it be that way. And he said it was a shame, sad that some tragedy has to come along to get people in desperation. Now he knows he said that.
Yeah.
So it's a sad thing that has to be that way. Because somehow or another we could be in desperation without tragedy coming. But I believe a person who is in the Spirit of the Lord, that's always up to date in what the Holy Spirit has got on his heart, I think that we will always be in a state of desperation. Because I'll tell you how I feel. You know, I think the Word lets us know that God will give you pastors after your own heart. So let me tell you what's on my heart, and maybe you can just compare it and see if it's what's on your heart. How can we compete with what this world has to offer if we don't have the Spirit of God doing it in us?
Amen.
So we need to have a state of desperation and be constantly that way. I know that the bride of Christ, that he is the Word. Whenever we talk about the Lord Jesus, we talk about our bridegroom, we talk about him. I want you to always remember we're talking about the Word. And he is her agenda. She is concerned about him. He's constantly on her mind. Everything she spends her day doing, and I just spent some time out camping. You know, camping is wonderful. Fellowshipping is wonderful. Doing the different things that God lets us do is wonderful as long as he's there.
Amen.
When he's not there, I'm not comfortable. I don't care if it's eating apple pie, and I like apple pie, but if the presence of the Lord is not upon that, I don't want to eat apple pie.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So no matter what it is, she ought to be in a constant state of desperation that he is near, right here with us.
Amen.
In all things. And that's where our victories are won out there, is when he's here now with us in our secret. I think Brother Daniel mentioned that. But it's in the secret times that you gain your victory. So if you want to win battles out there, you got to win them back here. If you want to slay your giants, you got to deal with the small things. Like the scripture said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so I believe that we should be in a constant state of desperation. I've said all that to say that we live in an hour that Satan has worked on for 6,000 years to make sure you don't have desperation. To make sure that you are occupied, you're busy, you've got everything else to keep you comforted, except the Word of God. And that's where we lay. That's the hour we live in. We have everything in the world to keep us busy and occupied instead of having that desperation of God. But let me make it clear. We'll have no revival like we and I know you have a desire for revival. I do too. It won't happen until we somehow learn how to disconnect from this Satan leading.
Right.
I'm not saying that you have to go live on some mountain somewhere and sell all that you have. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about identifying in our lives all these things that our brother talked about this morning that gets in the way and hinders our prayer life and hinders our close devotion with God. Identify those things and shut it down. Cut it off. As he said, shut that valve. And Satan is a master at that. He wants you to open that valve, and he's got that handle on that valve rig so that it'll open one way, but it breaks off when you try to shut it. And it takes a really hard thing to try and come along and stop something that Satan got the ball rolling on. And so I believe we are truth this morning. Yeah. We have to be in a state of desperation. And I'll tell you how I shared it with Brother Daniel this morning in the back room. We want to go forward. We want to find a place that we can call our home. We want to have the Spirit of God move in the midst of this church that we can present to the world and say, this is who we are. Come to our church. This is what we are. This is our identity in Christ. He's made us what we are. We want that. But before we ever go out there and find that, and I think we should shoot for that. We should be working hard toward that. We are. But I think I would be failing you if I didn't tell you that first and foremost, before we ever seek to that, to anything out there, to find us a place physically, another building and all that stuff, is that our success out there starts right in here.
Right.
Because God always provides for his people. And I'll tell you, when he's ready to put us somewhere, we'll be there.
Amen.
And it's just, you know, you remember in the scriptures what had come to mind a while ago, Ruth. And you know, she went through her stage of legalism and all that sort of thing. But she came to that place where, when she came back and she had been there to the threshing floor, she came back to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law said, rest. And this is, how many knows, this is where Brother Branham said we would be, right? So this is where we're at, rest. This is where we're supposed to be at, rest, confident in what he's going to do. But you know, she had went through all the measures to get to that place. God wants you to enter into rest. You can't do that until you've worked.
Yep.
So you've got to go through those stages. And I say we need to do this. There's footwork that we have to do, but we can finally reach a place where we can enter into that rest. And once she was there, her mother said, just rest. Stay right there, because I'll tell you something about the nature of that man. He won't rest until he gets this accomplished. He will not sit still until he goes down there and finishes this work of redemption. You've done your part. Now just rest in knowing that he will not be able to sleep until he gets you taken care of. And that's the way it is in our walk, and that's the way it is for our, as an assembly, all of us. We must make sure that internally we have everything and have turned every stone and done all that we should do. And I can guarantee you, not me, but him, according to the patterns of his word, he'll move.
Right.
He will move. And I'm not talking about just a building. But I'm talking about the wildfire that's out there destroying lives, pulling people away from the Word.
Mm-hmm.
God will not be mocked.
Yeah.
He will move. After we have fought the fight and done all the things that He wants, we will possess the gate of our enemies. And God will turn this thing. And there's a lot of people out there who have walked away from the Word who will have to come back and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. It's not that we just want people to come back and identify and say, you were right, we were wrong. That's not it at all. It's because we want them to come back to the fountain of life. Because you cannot walk away from the Word and it go good for you.
Mm-hmm. Right?
It never has and it never will. Mm-hmm. And so it concerns me. We should be desperate. Because people we know and we've rubbed shoulders with and who we've loved and fellowshiped with who've walked away from that, we should be desperate. Because they've left the fountain, the very fountain of the Word, you know. And so I'll leave that with you. I think that goes right with what Brother Dan was sharing with us this morning. God has given us everything that we need. We just got to fight the battle.
Amen.
We got to put it in place ourselves, everything that He's given us. And if we do that, He sure will do His part, because He will not be indebted to those, to anyone. And so we were singing that song a while ago. And the phrase, I wrote it down here, let the world around me pass away or fade away. Let it pass away, let it fade away. I'm going to tell you something. That's not just something that would be nice to have. That's something that we must have.
Right.
We've got to figure out a way to make this world fade away.
That's
right. While we still live here in this world. And our victory will come when we get back to that prayer closet. That's out there in the woods you just be out in the woods and just find your place right out there in the woods and kneel down to pray. And God's there. But you can sit in your own living room and just let your mind wander and never enter into that prayer closet. We have to find that place where when we talk to Him, we know He's there talking back and then He answers us. We have to do that. And you are the only one. Your pastor can't do it. Brother Daniel can't do it. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to fight that battle yourself. You've got to drag your own lamb up there and lay him on that altar and slay him.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, if you'll do that part, I wish I could do it for you. Sometimes I wish somebody could do it for me. But I can guarantee you by the Word that once you lay that animal up there and you hack him to pieces like you're supposed to, God will come down upon that sacrifice and you'll be happy. And when that sacrifice happens, that means atonement has been made for the purpose that you're there in the first place. And we want to live for others. We want to live in such a way that we can go out there and get those people that are left and that are being pulled away by this and by that. We want to live in a way where we can go after them, but it has to happen right there at the altar first. And so I believe that. Amen. Let's sing another song. Just while I'm just talking to the saints. Amen. Do you believe what you've heard today? Amen. I don't mean to keep you standing. It's just 7 minutes after 12, so we'll leave here just a moment as we sing another song.
Without Him, I would be nothing. Without
morning at 10:30 a.m. Normally next week is our fellowship Sunday, and we was normally going to do that, but Brother Norrod is going to be ministering elsewhere Sunday afternoon, so he'll have to be leaving pretty quickly. The sisters had kind of kicked it around about whether we would have fellowship lunch, and I hate to kind of just put you on the spot, but have you really decided yay or nay about what we should do? Okay, is that what everybody wants to do? Okay. So no fellowship Sunday next week. We'll do it the next week after that, 2 weeks from today. And Brother Ben's actually going to, he's been ministering in Fort Smith that afternoon at 2:30, and I told him that I would announce that, let it be known, so if anybody wanted to go to that, they can. My obligation first is here. And so I want to do that, and that's what's important to me. And then, of course, if you want to go visit the afternoon service, you're more than welcome to do that. I'm never going to tell you what to do, but sometimes I may highly suggest to you. Amen. Jesus is a gentleman, and I think His people should be too. We're not going to force anybody to do something they don't want to do, right? And so we want to woo people to the Word, and we want to allow people. Because the bottom line is they have to, by their own choice, of their own heart, make their own decision. And so we want to be salty. Let them make their own decision. When they do it, it'll stand. So, amen. And be in prayer for our situation about finding a place or enhancing. We do have a plan to try and enhance the situation we have here to abide for a while until we the Lord provides something elsewhere. But there's many activities going on or whatever. So I would ask that you remember to pray for that. As a matter of fact, in a couple of minutes, we'll be meeting with our landlord to discuss that. So we'd ask that really quickly you could say a little prayer. Ask the Lord to help us in that. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
You love each other.
Amen.
Okay. And you love me.
Amen. Amen.
My wife went. My wife, he mentioned something about her making pies and stuff. I just got to reading about over the course of about several days about five different pieces of pie that she had made. So anyway, could have been more. Yeah, so we love you, though. May the Lord richly bless you. You enjoyed Brother Daniel's ministry this morning.
Amen.
It's always a blessing to us. We do need that variety in the five-fold ministry. So I always enjoy what he has to share. Brother Daniel's, what he says up here is exactly what he says in the background, what he says out on the street. You know, that's one thing that we could be. When you're genuine, you could be that everywhere you are. You don't have to worry about it. That's what Brother Ram said. When you're a liar, you tell a lie, then you got to tell another to cover that up. Tell another to cover that up. But if you always tell the truth, you never have to do anything to tell the truth.
Right.
There's some wisdom there. I hope our young people catch that. Always tell the truth, you'll never have to do anything to tell the truth.
Right.
And so if you just be what you are, you'll never have to cover it up. Amen. That's good. So God bless you. You're dismissed as we sing part of the song.